Well, grace and peace to you, friends in Christ, from God our Father. Amen. I had to make things light a little bit for the children today, because it might be tempting to hear in the gospel reading today a bit of a judgmental message from Jesus. His words about a sword instead of peace, and of setting against one another mothers and daughters and fathers and sons, well, it can all sound a little harsh and unnecessarily divisive. And it doesn't help when you get a reading from Jeremiah of becoming a laughingstock and of crying violence and destruction. The psalm today is about suffering, and even Paul is talking about baptism into death. It's true that these are not the happiest passages from the Bible. Lots of times we want to think that the Bible is all about love and happiness, at least for those of us who believe it. I still remember feeling a bit surprised when I learned that there are more psalms in the Bible about lament, about pain and suffering and crying, and more psalms about lament than there are psalms of praise. And if you think that non-Christian religions are violent, you need to go back and read some of the Old Testament. The book of Judges is particularly ferocious. Yes, of course, the Bible does offer a message of peace and love. Jesus' whole life can be summed up in the idea that God is love, and we bring God to one another by sharing that love. But if the 1960s taught us anything about love, it's a bit more complicated than that. And Jesus is getting into the complicated stuff a little bit today. Whether you like it or not, Jesus gets a little political once in a while. Jesus addresses the aches and pains of the day, the situations of life that bring hardship and suffering into people's lives. Most often, Jesus addresses the hierarchy of power and wealth that keeps some people, on top and crushes so many others under a weight of oppression. Jesus claims that this is the pain that causes everything from illness to demonic possession to social inequality. The Bible lumps it all together under the term sin. And it's what the church claims God sends Jesus into the world to save us from. Salvation and the promise of heaven is the promise of a world where there is no longer anything that lifts some up while pushing others down. So when Jesus says a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master, he's making a political statement. He's saying the way the world is set up with teachers and masters on top and disciples and slaves at the bottom is not the way it should be. At least it's not the way God wants it to be. Of course, you realize also that teacher in this case is not the modern public school teacher who has to spend her own money so kids can have pencils and paper in the classrooms. Teacher here means something like the hotshot pastor who shows up with skinny jeans and a praise band. In any case, when someone like Jesus starts upsetting the apple cart, as it was, there's gonna be social pushback. The hotshots and the masters like being on top. They don't hear Jesus' words as good news at all. This is what happens not only in Jesus' life, but in the wake of Jesus' life, as we see what the church develops following Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension. The The people who hitched their wagon to Jesus began to live and relate in society in new and sometimes disruptive ways. In-charge people were not pleased. Parents and in-laws didn't like what their children were doing. Religious and political leaders said, "We've never done it that way before. And it'll be a cold day and you know what when we start." But remember, the change of hope and abundant life is brought about not to make life difficult for those on top, but to make life better for those on the bottom. Jesus' followers, to whom Matthew writes this story, to whom Matthew sees as the audience of his gospel, are people who have felt the thrill of freedom from the oppressive status quo in the world. They're people who were and sometimes still are fishermen and tax collectors and prostitutes and people who own no land, and the blind and the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and sometimes even criminals and ne'er-do-wells. They're normal people just trying to get by in a world that doesn't seem very normal to them most of the time. And they're the ones who have felt the fury of those who believe that their status in the world is being ripped away. And so Matthew's Jesus says this thing about bringing a sword, not peace. Matthew's Jesus acknowledges that before things get better, things are going to get worse. I think all of this relates to the world that we seem to be living in today. There's a lot of social change going on in our world. Hierarchies and status quos don't seem to be as stable as we thought they used to be. For those of us who rely on the way the world has worked for the last however many years, times like this are difficult, anxious. There's a large part of our society that's pushing back hard on the expectations of equality and freedom that some folks have demanded lately. And neither side has the monopoly on righteousness. We have to acknowledge that civil rights movements have merit in a society that still witnesses discrimination, but some of the ways change comes about can have its own destructive consequences too. Jesus warns us about this reality. And because the church is the body of Christ in the world, it's kind of up to us to be the voice of Jesus in a conflicted, anxious world. But know this, to do nothing is not an option. I disagree with the notion that the church should be a place where politics are not discussed, because politics matter in society. People's lives are made better and easier and harder because of political decisions. The church shouldn't take sides necessarily, but on either side where there is suffering and oppression, that's where the church needs to be as a prophetic challenge to the status quo, because that's where Jesus is. I also think that we don't do ourselves any favors when we say things like, "Well, I don't see people as black or white or rich or poor or straight or gay." Because people are black and rich and straight, and others are gay and white or poor. It matters that we see things in our world and situations that people live in, realities that benefit some and bring hardship to others. Then we can enter into those places where people are hurting and offer comfort and peace. We can go to those places where decisions are made that create the hurt or exacerbate the troubles and call out that injustice, even if it makes the powerful people more angry. That's the sword that Jesus says he has brought. It cuts the world like a surgeon's knife cuts into healthy flesh in order to get at the cancer that's growing underneath the surface. And even though it's tempting to hear Jesus' words as unnecessarily harsh and disruptive, there still is good news in those words for us too. There is good news when it's you or me who is touched by the injustice of the world, or illness, or pain, or grief, or whatever demon attaches itself to us and tries to tell us that we're not worthy of the hope and salvation that others seem to take for granted. Jesus brings a sword that will cut through the sin that is inside of us, the mistakes that we make, and the willful disobedience that grievously hurts the otherwise normal people in our world just trying to make it through another day. And sometimes those normal people are people that we know, people that we love. Praise be the sword of Jesus that cuts out the pain and oppression of our world. And may we, with all care and humble responsibility for the work to which we are called as the church, may we wield that sword with power. Power to announce justice and peace in a suffering world.